First, many Jews who continued to visit the Mount as tourists did so without any rabbinic guidance, entering areas where, according to Jewish law, they should not walk. Second, a self-imposed policy, banning full public Jewish prayer, persuaded enemies of Israel that Israel's leaders lacked attachment to or reverence for the site. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 239, The Temple Mount Mistake. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. It is a strange fact that what is, in my opinion, the greatest mistake in Israel's history occurred soon after its most miraculous moment. But in truth, the roots of this mistake can be traced to before the Old City's liberation, when, as many report, Moshe Dayan stood next to Uzi Narkas atop Mount Scopus, with Narkas eager, begging to enter ancient Jerusalem. Dayan famously said to Narkas something to the effect of, "What do I need all this Vatican for?" While Dayan ultimately consented to the IDF entering into the Old City, the story captures so much about what Dayan would do regarding the Temple Mount. The story reminds us that Dayan felt no strong draw to Judaism's holiest site, and it highlights the bizarre fact that someone who felt that way and someone with virtually no Judaic knowledge would be the one to make decisions regarding the sacred area of the Temple Mount. We consider this when we reflect on the past and the future of the holiest site in Judaism and the locus of its longing. After the liberation of ancient Jerusalem, an area was made, a plaza was created for Jewish prayer at the Western Wall. But Rabbi Goren also organized a midrashah, a center of study and prayer atop the Temple Mount itself, and he oversaw officers there. Rabbi Goren wrote, quote, "I began to hold regular prayer services in the midrashah. We read from the Sifrei Torah that we brought up to the Temple Mount and brought other books to study from. While I was in control of the Temple Mount, I brought in some experts from the engineering corps and asked them to record the exact measurements of the Temple Mount. For about 2 weeks, the engineers worked on taking all the measurements and brought me the maps they had made. I appointed 10 officers to be in charge of the Temple Mount and gave them armbands bearing the words Temple Mount Officer," end quote. Rabbi Goren, as he describes it, was able to oversee the Temple Mount for 40 days. Then he further writes, quote, "One day Dayan came to me and told me I had to pack up and leave the midrashah, take out all the books and everything we had put there and reassign the officers because he had handed control of the Temple Mount to the Waqf. Those words were like a clap of thunder on a clear day," end quote. Thus did Moshe Dayan decide to hand the authority of the holiest site in Judaism to those that would be utterly antagonistic to the Jewish presence on the Temple Mount. As Israeli journalist Nadav Shragai has documented, Moshe Dayan's actions were founded on the presumption, the incredibly incorrect presumption, that the Temple Mount was not of any real religious significance to Jews at all. Rather, Dayan wrote, it was, in his view, quote, "a historical site of commemoration of the past," end quote. We must understand the profundity of the error that occurred. First, of course, the Temple Mount is a site of religious significance. It is the site of religious significance, the site toward which Jewish prayer has been directed for thousands of years, the holiest site in Judaism, the site where the temple was built and the site where, according to Jewish faith, it will be built again. Although Jewish religious law forbids Jews from visiting certain sections of the Mount, some of the most sacred sections, the fact is that the northern and southern portions of the current area atop the Temple Mount Plaza are later extensions dating from the time of Roman rule, and parts of the original temple area can be entered in certain contexts following the immersion in a ritual bath, a mikvah. Thus, as some have commented, the most appropriate course of action in 1967 would have been for the Israeli government to set aside a dedicated section for Jewish prayer in a proper area in the Mount. There could have been direction from the rabbinate regarding which areas could be entered, when certain states of ritual purity are necessary through immersion in a mikvah, and where one should not enter. This did not happen. Instead, Dayan handed the keys to the Temple Mount to the Waqf, leading to a situation in which regular, open Jewish public prayer in its fullness is banned on the Mount, though tourists of all types can visit. We will discuss tomorrow the development of this incredibly tragic situation, and we will also discuss tomorrow the growing number of traditional Jewish visitors to the Mount and the constant efforts to increase prayer there. But for now, let us take note of the fact that what followed after 1967 set an effect on the Temple Mount, the worst of all possible worlds. First, many Jews who continued to visit the Mount as tourists did so without any rabbinic guidance, entering areas where, according to Jewish law, they should not walk. Second, a policy, a self-imposed policy, banning full public Jewish prayer, persuaded enemies of Israel that Israel's leaders lacked attachment to or reverence for the site, which then led to construction by the Waqf on the Mount, which further destroyed physical evidence that Jews had once worshipped there. Moreover, even some prominent Jews began to speak about the Kotel, rather than the Temple Mount, as Judaism's holiest site. Thus, Yair Lapid, as foreign minister, in the process of insisting that no change in the quote-unquote status quo atop the mountain would take place, also added that, quote, Jews have freedom to visit the Temple Mount and Muslims have freedom of worship there. If Jews wish to pray, the holiest place for Jews is a few meters from there, the Western Wall, end quote. As I noted in commentary, this is of course preposterous. The Western Wall is a retaining wall of the Temple Plaza from the Herodian age. It acquired its special status because it was the one site, during certain centuries, where Jews were allowed by the Ottomans to gather in yearning, where they would pray toward the Temple Mount itself, where they would mourn for the temple's destruction. In other words, the Kotel is the place where Jews for centuries gathered to affirm that the Temple Mount is Judaism's holiest site. Today, of the many gates to the Temple Mount, Jews coming in reverence and tourists are only allowed through one of the gates, the Mugrabi Gate, near the Kotel. The Waqf controls all other gates. And, under the current policy, Jews cannot enter the Temple Mount during the Sabbath at all. One incredible story from 2022, however, tells of a moment where something different than the usual occurred, where a different gate was entered, a gate significant in the history of the liberation of Jerusalem. The Israel Hayom paper reported, quote, a group of Jewish worshippers entered the Temple Mount on Sunday through the Gate of the Tribes in the northern part of the Mount, the first such occurrence since 1967, when liberating IDF paratroopers entered the holy site during the Six-Day War. The group entered through the Gate of the Tribes and was escorted by a Temple Mount police officer, and some left the Temple Mount through the same gate. The article further adds, Jews are usually allowed to enter the Temple Mount only through the Mugrabim, Moroccan gate, which is right next to the Kotel, Western Wall. The rest of the nine gates around the Temple Mount are reserved for Muslims. End quote. This is fascinating because it was, of course, the Gate of the Tribes through which Mutagur's paratroopers entered. Mutagur himself entered through this gate, saying soon after, Har Habayit Biadeinu, the Temple Mount is in our hands. But of course today, as the Israel Hayom article further tells us, quote, Jews' visits to the Temple Mount, Judaism's holiest site, are limited in time and space, as well as the number of visitors allowed access at any given time. While Jews' rights to worship at the site have improved in recent years, much remains wanting, and the full freedom of worship has yet to be granted by the State of Israel to Jews visiting the Temple Mount. While Muslims enter the holy site freely, Jews are screened by metal detectors, undergo security searches, and are banned from bringing Jewish religious objects to the site. End quote. It is therefore all the more striking to think of Jews entering the Gate of the Tribes, the gate named for the tribes of Israel, the gate through which Mutagur's men entered in 1967. As we will discuss tomorrow, more and more traditional Jews are ascending to the Temple Mount, and I have personally experienced a prayer there that was without question one of the most moving of my life. But what Jews can do there as those seeking to commune with God at the holiest site of Judaism is still extremely limited. And therefore, to think of Jews entering the Temple Mount in 2022 in the footsteps of the 1967 liberators of Jerusalem is to ponder what might have been and also what can still be. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.